time to pause, so I thought it would just be good for us to pause, do a little health check, and ask ourselves, how are we doing at the beginning of another decade? And I thought we'd do that through a whole series of different things that we'd look at over the next few weeks together. And then also, as I was thinking about how we might sort of kick this series off, it's a bit boomy, David, isn't it? Can you just adjust? Thank you. How we might kick this series off, I thought it'd be fun to try and bring each of the weeks into focus around creating something that might represent each of the weeks. So we've got 8 weeks. So my plan in the next half an hour is to throw 8 things that somehow represent the 8 things that we're going to do over the next 8 weeks. That's the challenge I've set myself. And I've been watching the Pottery Throwdown. You've been watching that, and they have a challenge every week. They have to do something, don't they? So this is my challenge for this week. So we'll see how we get on. So the idea of this series is, can we just click to the next one? There's only 2 slides. That we live life to the full. That's always been my favourite verse in the Bible. I'm sure those of you that know me will be not surprised that that's my favourite verse, John 10:10. But there's this lovely verse as well in, can't see without turning around. Oh, I've got it here. I printed it out. That was very clever of me, wasn't it? A heart at peace gives life to the body. So if internally we're doing well, then externally we can do well as well. So we're kicking this series off, not next week, because we're all together just celebrating, but the following week, Rebecca's going to be speaking to us, and she'll set the ball rolling, or the pot creating, by talking about how we see ourselves. And I wonder, you know, if you think about yourself, this is a very big issue when we take the wheel into retreat days for STEP, which we do quite often. What do you see yourself like? So I thought what it would be good to throw as our starter for 10, for 8 in this case, would be something that's tall. Do you think of yourself as a tall person, somebody who stands tall, somebody who is, I don't know, just feeling good amongst everybody else, somebody that's perhaps head and shoulders above everybody else, not in an arrogant way, not in a I'm better than you type way, but just I'm pleased with who God has made me to be. I've got lots of things to tackle, there's lots of things I want to grow in, but actually I'm enjoying being who God has created me to be. So Rebecca's going to explore that with us. Let's see how tall we can get this. The top's gone a bit wobbly because I rushed a bit. Let's just whip that off. There we go. So we can go a bit taller, I think. Always the, as you'll see, those of you that are watching the Pottery Throwdown on a Wednesday evening, there are limits to clay. One of the wonderful connections, I think, with doing pottery and talking about God is that he works with us around our limitations. It's a very tactile thing, you know. It's very difficult to throw something square on a potter's wheel. I don't even notice that. It has to be round. So there are limitations that you work with, you know. Some clays, Jill, who I work with, loves porcelain. Porcelain clay is a bit like throwing with yogurt. You know, it's just got no body to it. So in that sense, very, very difficult to work with on the wheel. Challenging. And that's, I think, just like the relationship between us and God. You know, he works with us. He doesn't try to throw square pots if we're on a round wheel with us. He adapts what he's doing with us in the world and works alongside us. So how tall are you? Is, I think, one of the questions that Rebecca will perhaps be asking. How do we see ourselves? Where do we get the reference point from about who we are? Number one, a bit wobbly. So we're going to move from there to, let's clear that off, to the next week where we're in this series. And it's very, very interesting who's taken the weeks as we've put them out there. And there's a very interesting thing that's happened as we've put these titles out and said, who wants to speak on what? And that is predominantly, it's been the ladies amongst you that have said, oh, I'd like to speak on that. I'd like to speak on that, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Yan Yan says that we are quite unusual in the West because in China, most church leaders are women. So we're becoming Chinese as we open up this space and let the ladies speak to us. And Elizabeth is going to be speaking to us, and possibly Jane actually at a later date, because I think we might do this twice, Jane, that's my plan, about rhythms and patterns. So what rhythms in our lives help us to live well? You know, we've got the obvious one, haven't we, like the Sabbath day, you know, a day of rest is one of those rhythms. I've been very, very challenged by Rydell over the years, who has these underlying rhythms and patterns to her life. You know, she's got 7 years planned out. This is what she's going to do. You turn up on the wrong day in her life and you can't see her because she's in her studio. It's her studio time. It's that space that she spends there. You have to come back another time because she very intentionally sets up the space that she works in to do the things that she needs to do. That's part of her rhythm and pattern of life. We all have some of those rhythms and patterns, some of them seen, some of them unseen, some of them chosen, some of them dictated to us by our workspaces or our families or other situations, but they're all there. And it's good for us to say, what's working? What are these rhythms and patterns are working well for us and what aren't? So as a rhythms and pattern shape, I thought, let's just have some fun. Let's trim the top again. That's what happens when you rush. There we go. Get that out of the way. So for our rhythms and patterns, I thought we'd make a shaped vase that represented those rhythms and patterns. So sometimes it'll feel full. Sometimes it'll feel as if we're squeezed in a bit. Sometimes it'll feel a bit fuller. You know, our lives vary, don't they? Different seasons of our lives, different ages we go through, perhaps even annual cycles, you know. January, February, we're all a bit, is the spring coming? So rhythms and patterns is our second little space we're going to be looking at. See, I've made that a bit thin, can you see? And it's collapsed on one side. It's very symbolic, isn't it? maybe that's how some of you feel this morning. I'm in this space and it's all just a bit too much. Right, and then I like doing these. Sue is going to talk to us about, let's get some more water, living contented lives. The Bible talks, doesn't it, about us being content, about us being just at ease, really. You know, when I'm throwing, you can't do anything all the time the clay is bouncing about. You have to get it centered and you have to work quite hard. It takes a bit of strength in your hands to get it into the center of the wheel. And if you don't get it centered, then anything you create goes all over the place. Well, you can't create anything. It has to be centered. And I think that's a very powerful illustration because for you and I, that word centered is a spiritual word. We use it, you know, our centering. Something that we do is a spiritual description of us. When I'm, again, talking in schools when I'm throwing, I say we're at peace with ourselves and with God and with the world. I wonder how many times that's happened. At peace with ourselves and with God and with the world. That's what centered is about. That's what I think contentment is. I say that actually, if these youngsters that I'm talking to really want to perhaps open themselves up and hear God, then find somewhere they can be centered. Be still, quiet, switch their phones off, get away from things, and be content. I think a lovely shape that I always enjoy throwing that actually, for me, speaks of contentment is a bowl. An open container that things can go into, whether that's breakfast cereal or fruit, whatever it might be, a bowl of some description. So here we go. Let's just shape this. Again, I've got to be careful not to stretch the clay too far because it just will whiz off. Slow down a bit. Here we go. Good. So content. I don't know, the shape of a bowl somehow speaks to me of contentment. It's just at rest. It's open to have things put inside it, whatever that might be. Fill it up with Smarties or peanuts or whatever it is. Fruit. Or fragrance. You know, maybe something that smells nice and can go in the bowl. So that's Sue, is going to speak to us about contentment. We're into recycling, so here we go. And then, moving swiftly on, this is going to be really interesting. So the next one we're looking at, the next idea, is bringing hope in the face of some of our world challenges, particularly climate change, which Jill Folger is going to unpack for us. She's written a paper, if anybody's interested, to have a browse before she comes and speaks to us. But so what I thought would be good to do was try and throw some sort of globe. This could go very drastically wrong, because actually to throw a globe, you've got to come out and then come back in round the top to represent the world that we live in and our response to the world. So we're going to come out. And Jill's not looking at climate change per se, so you don't have to be interested in climate change to come, but really just looking at our reaction to climate change. The anxiety that perhaps these world situations cause us, how we deal with that, what our response should be as Christians to that, to those sorts of issues. You know, we prayed this morning, haven't we, for our world, something that we're increasingly connected with. I had a Skype conversation before I came out this morning with Tim and Roxy in Australia. We feel very connected, although they're the other side of the world, in ways that we wouldn't have been connected to them centuries ago, because it would have taken us months to get there. Might have sent a telegram or something like that, but that would have been it. This is already starting to go seriously wrong. We'll try again. One of the wonderful things about clay is that it's redeemable, just like us. So let's have another go. Here we go. Shape it round and pull the top in. You should, if you're really good at this, which of course I'm not, you should be able to squeeze the top right in and close it up to make a complete sphere. So let's see how close we can get. The bottom's going. Needs more practice. It's what my school reports used to say. Could try harder. There we go. That's close enough for now, isn't it? Oh. So, the world. How do we react? How do we respond? So Jill's going to look at that for us. And then we've got a man who's coming. We've had to get one in from outside because none of us wanted to speak on these things. No, it's not true. We approached a guy called David Holford, who some of you might know, who's a personal trainer, works with lots of different age groups, loves seeing people grow in their fitness and well-being and developing physical well-being with all sorts of different situations. So for this, I thought I'd just make something big, because that's often what we think about when we think of physical things, isn't it? And we want to be strong, we want to be in a good place, so we'll throw something a bit larger. I, about it, I think 2 years ago, I decided in January one of my New Year's resolutions would be to throw larger pieces, because I quite like throwing things this sort of size. And so I started throwing bigger things, and I thought I'd go on YouTube just to see what the largest thing you could throw on a wheel like this was. Anybody guess, what was the largest thing you think somebody could throw on a wheel this size? What do you think people throw? Any ideas?
Storage jug, big olive.
Big storage jug, yeah. Flower pot. Yeah, flower pot, big sort of, yeah. Well, I found a guy who'd put sort of almost miniature scaffolding round his wheel and threw a pot and was working on it up here. Set the wheel going, put a brick or something, you know, on his foot pedal, and was literally working up this high. So there is no limit to what you can throw on something of this size, providing, of course, it's got enough power to turn the clay. So that sort of inspired me. I haven't made anything that huge, but you make it in sections. So you sort of throw a donut and then take it off and then stick it back on the top of another donut that you've thrown that's still on the wheel. So you sort of build it up. You don't do it all in one go. I think because I stuck an extra bit of clay on this, it's gonna fight back at me, but we'll have a go anyway. Make something big. Or bigger than the other things anyway. Of course, the key to throwing big things is not to throw anything bigger than your kiln. Do you know the story of... do you remember that? Any of you remember the mirror dinghy when it came out? The sailing boat that I think the mirror paper, which is why it's called the mirror dinghy, created this set of plans. So you could build your own little sailing boat. And you went out and bought sheets of ply and fiberglass to stick it together with and all that sort of thing. And people started building these all over the country. And there were some wonderful stories of people that, of course, had built their mirror dinghies in their spare bedroom upstairs. And you couldn't get them through a normal door. So they had these wonderful boats created that they had to take to bits and saw up to actually get them down the stairs. So, yeah, don't throw anything that's bigger than can go in the kiln. But let's just throw something that's a reasonable size here. So David will talk to us about often the things that are disconnected or have been disconnected for us as Christians. We've done a downer really on the physical world. We've said the physical world is evil, it's tainted, it's bad basically. We've forgotten that God, when he created it, said it was good, that he loves us, that we live in it, that actually the whole of creation groans waiting for the world's redemption through us. So I think it's really good that there's a restoration of the importance of the physical in our age and time at the moment. And we as Christians are picking that back up as a theme for us. So not to give ourselves a hard time about some of the physical challenges we face, both in our world but in ourselves, but to grow in stature. So David will encourage us around those things. Let's just come a bit higher. Here we go. Fun. We'll stop there, otherwise we won't have time to do the others, will we? Let's take that off. It's always the dodgy bit, you know. So where are we heading next? Physical well-being, relationships, family, friends, work colleagues. So I thought it'd be nice to throw... This always happens. A couple of little things that connect together. You have sets of things in pottery, don't you? I'm never very good at this because throwing two things that are the same just seems a bit... Well, it's a bit tricky for me, to be honest. I haven't quite got that level of skill, but also I quite like the individuality of something. So throwing two things that are the same, not always very attractive. But let's throw perhaps two little Art Deco type cups, which Jill, as you can imagine, in the pottery particularly likes. She's a bit of an Art Deco, arts and crafts sort of period fan. So these need to come out a bit. have that sort of Art Deco feel. Sort their tops out. Here we go. So there's one. So proper people that do this would have a set of calipers that they'd measure them with. So they'd measure the top and measure the sides, measure the height, so they get them the same. Let's just slide this out of the way a bit. So let's see if we can do one about the same as that. See how close I can get it. So we're designed to live in relationship with each other, with the people around us. And as I've said many times in this sort of situation and others, you know, it's about us realizing that as Christians particularly, we have a God who lives and dwells in relationship. Father, Son and Holy Spirit live together. God can say, we can say about God that he's a God of love because in and of himself, he is love. The Father loves the Son loves the Father loves the Holy Spirit loves the Father who loves the Son, and so on and so forth. That interwoven relationship between the Trinity is what we base our relationships on. They are a model for us as to how we live together, share our lives together, and value each other. So here's our second little cup. I guess to be true to that origin, I ought to throw three, didn't I? We'll just do two for now so that we can make sure we stay on time. Here we go. Right. Ooh, they're sort of close-ish, aren't they? But not quite the same. Such is my life. Now, the next thing is us thinking about, yeah, totally, everyone. Yes, all of our relationships are unique, Trevor. Thank you for that reminder. Who's doing relationships? I think Lawrence said he might. Is that right? He is. We've got our second man. Woohoo! So Lawrence is going to talk to us about relationships. He has lots of observations about relationships, lots of stories as well, which I love hearing. So that'll be a great week. Then growing in our relationship with God. So something that I've been trying to throw for probably as long as I've been doing this, some 8 or so years, just doing, you know, spending an hour or two a week trying to learn to throw, is a tall neck vase. You know, these lovely things where it's sort of got bulbous bottom and then it comes up in a long, tall neck. Absolute pain. They are one of the hardest things to throw. But I thought that sort of demonstrates our stretching, doesn't it? Growing in our relationship with God. Not that God is always out there, but us sort of stretching, wanting to grow in our relationship with him. So let's have a go at that. So, throw it up. Then I need to throw the base out. Let's just get it on the centre a bit more before we get too keen. And of course your clay and the body of the clay has a lot to say about what you can actually do with it. Out at the bottom and then up into the top a bit. And the problem with, certainly with this sort of clay, is that it's not quite robust enough to support the weight of a tall neck. So what tends to happen is the bottom collapses. Let's see how we go. Let's take some of this weight out of here. And this is sort of, should be familiar territory to us, shouldn't it? This whole area of growing in our relationship with God. But I wonder how much we think about whether we're really growing and developing or whether we're just continuing to think, to do the things we've always done. Not there's anything wrong with that, but there might be other things that God wants to draw us into, different ways for us to think about our relationship with him, different things that might help us. Here we go. Actually, dare I say it, this has gone better than I thought it might. So stretching up, just reaching to God. It's because I played safe with the bass. If you make it a bigger sort of bulbous bass, then obviously it has more tendency to collapse. So that's as yet untaken. So if anybody wants to say, oh, I'd like to speak on growing in our relationship with God, then talk to Louise. And finally, interesting space for us to end on, really. And it's just the way that people have picked them up and the dates they can choose. So the order is based around who's available when, rather than there needing to be a particular set order for them. This is the pot that I throw most often. So most weeks I throw this pot. This is the pot that goes wrong, that just doesn't quite work. And some weeks, you know, I sit at the wheel and it's as if I've never done it before at all. Do you have those sort of days? Whatever you do, you just think, oh, what is it? And I've tried to work out what it is. You know, have I just been grumpy that day? You know, am I overstressed when I come in? What is it? And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. It's just life, you know. So when this happens most regularly, when I'm trying to overstretch the clay, when I'm trying to do something new, something slightly different, and it doesn't quite go the way that I want it to. And what we're going to think about as part of this series is how we respond and react when life feels broken. How do we cope with that? And, you know, as particularly as charismatic evangelicals, I don't think we've always done particularly well. We've given ourselves a hard time, really, in trying to change our circumstances beyond what it's possible perhaps for us to change. That's not to say that we shouldn't have faith, but actually often God wants to speak to us through the circumstances that we're in ways that we're not used to hearing him, and we need to be prepared to listen. So what might some of those situations be? How might we cope with life when it goes wrong? What does that mean about our relationship with God? You know, the number of people I speak to who once had a relationship with God, something's happened in their life and they're no longer connected. There are thousands, if not millions of people out there who just haven't been equipped to cope with life when it goes wrong, because the God they've believed in is a God who makes everything better. Well, ultimately, of course, that's true. But in the meantime, we live in a space where that is not always possible. And we have to live with the circumstances that fold out around us. And we have to understand God in ways that make sense of those situations and him working amongst us. So life goes wrong for me on the wheel most often when I do just what I'm about to do now, overstretch things, and everything just gets a little bit... Yeah, it's just... isn't it? And our lives are sometimes like that. And where do we go from there? You know, it's sort of not really... It doesn't feel very retrievable. You have to work with what you've got. Jill's come up with some wonderful sort of, you know, fancy vases, because she gets very attached to the things I throw and everything's really special. And she can't bear the fact that I've spent, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes throwing something and then it goes wrong. So she wants to rescue it. You can imagine, can't you? So things like this have got taken off the wheel in the past and being recreated into something that still works. How do we cope when life goes wrong? One of those things we're going to be looking at. So there we are. We've just whizzed through, thought about where do we start, how we see ourselves. Are we tall? Are we people who have confidence in God's view of us? We thought about rhythms and patterns. You know, how do we shape our lives so they work for us? Living contented lives, the bowl, which I love throwing, the sense of openness, the sense of being centered and grounded. Hope in the face of climate change and other things that might come and press in on us, our physical well-being, How strong, how well do we feel physically? Do you make New Year's resolutions every year about this time of year that you're going to walk more and cycle more and drive less? And it's February and I still haven't really got around to pumping the tyres up on the bike, you know, all those sorts of things. Our relationships with our family and friends, how are we getting on? Are there issues there that we need to sort out and resolve? Growing in our relationship with God, just stretching ourselves, becoming more like Him. And then how do we deal with life when it feels a bit broken? So that's just by way of an introduction as to where we're heading together and just something hopefully that makes it memorable by sitting and watching rather than just listening. Lawrence, thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. That is very exciting. Thank you, Trevor.